Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, October the 10th, on a rather beautiful day here in North Texas. I think this is perhaps the most beautiful day that we've had since spring. I mean, it's just absolutely lovely, not warm, not too sunny. I mean, it was just an absolutely perfect day. And maybe it's the beginning of the real fall, you know. There's a real transition in Texas between summer and fall. Even though the calendar changes, the weather doesn't necessarily change right away. But man, this day was just absolutely beautiful, here in North Texas. Well, today we're going to be talking about what is going on down in Brazil, where they had a real interesting showing in the first round. And I'm beginning to think that the next president of Brazil is Mr. Bolsonaro. I just think he's starting to look like the man who's going to be the next president of Brazil. He still has to go to the second round, and we'll talk a little bit about that tonight. Bill and Hillary Clinton are on tour. Yes, they're on tour, like a Broadway play or a musical band or a comedy show. They're on tour, and they're going to be visiting cities across the country, and people will pay to see them. And I'm just wondering, why in the heck are they doing this? And I've got a few thoughts on that as well today. But let's begin with what is developing in the country right now, and that is all the talk about this wave or that wave, a blue wave, a red wave. You know, all year long, we've been hearing about a blue wave, meaning a very strong showing by the Democrats that could potentially take over the House, and maybe, it's still a long shot, but maybe pick up the Senate. Well, a bunch of new polls are coming out today, and clearly with respect to the Senate, it's starting to look almost impossible for the Democrats. I shouldn't say impossible, very difficult for the Democrats. The Republicans appear to be winning the states they have to win to keep their majority, and they may pick up a few seats. Missouri, North Dakota, Indiana, those are three where Republican chances are very good. Montana is still within the margin of error, and I still think they're going to pull out Montana. But at least as of today, that one, the Democrat is still leading, but within the margin of error, and the Democrat is under 50%, which is, of course, a bad sign for any incumbent. The only Democrat that I feel, the only red state Democrat who I feel who will win re-election is Joe Manchin in West Virginia. It looks like he's going to win. And by a comfortable margin, it looks like. But every other red state Democrat is in serious trouble. Potentially, that could be four pickups for the Republicans. Now, it's getting better in Arizona, and it's getting better in Nevada. So that means you keep those two. I'm very confident that Ted Cruz is going to win Texas, so that keeps that one. And then you go down to Florida, where, again, it's a very difficult contest within the margin of error. But Governor Scott, who's running as the GOP candidate, is looking better and better. So that's another pickup. So that means that you could have potentially five pickups for the Republicans on Election Day without losing anywhere. You know, we were a little uncomfortable with Arizona and Nevada, but those two seem to be trending Republican. Again, it's very close. I don't want to mislead you. Arizona and Nevada are within the margin of error, so it could go either way. But it's trending a little bit Republican. So you could end up on election night where the Republicans could pick up five seats in the U.S. Senate. Montana, North Dakota, Missouri, Indiana, and now potentially Florida. That would be a huge night. I think some would call that a wave, I would think. Now, the House is a little bit more difficult to appreciate, and that's primarily because these are 435 districts. And you don't know, I mean, I've never been comfortable with polling data in House districts because it's just more complicated to do. And many polling organizations don't even bother doing House districts. Generally, those are internal polls that are taken by the campaign, so you have to question those polls. But the bottom line is that you could have, on Election Day, you could have a strong Republican showing in the Senate, anywhere from 3 to 5 seats net pickup, to a situation in the House where the Democrats have a very strong night but don't pick up the 24 seats. So that, you know, that could happen. Now, there could also be a different outcome. The Democrats could pick up the House. That could happen too. But right now, the polling data seems to be showing that the Kavanaugh effect is turning on Republicans and that the energy level among Republicans is extremely high at the moment. And if that's the case, then I think what I just outlined about picking up those Senate seats and holding on to the House even by a smaller number is very, very likely to happen. So we will see, you know, the next 25 days. Elections, you know, one of the problems with projecting a year from now or 6 months ago is that elections are often decided at the last minute or in the last 30 days or so, because that's when people begin to focus on the elections. The truth of the matter is nobody was focused on the 2016 election in May or April or June. I mean, the only people who were focused on those elections were the experts or the political people. But the average voter is not into the elections really until the last 30 days. And so if you think in terms of peaking at the right time, like in baseball or in sports, you know, where they say, you know, you win it, you get hot at the end and you go into the postseason on a hot streak. Clearly right now, it looks like the Republicans are peaking at the right time. And that, of course, could make the blue wave disappear very, very quickly. Now, I still think the Democrats are going to have a heavy turnout. Don't misunderstand me. I still think the Democrats are going to have a heavy turnout. And without the Republican energy, maybe that turnout could have turned some things around for them. But if the Republicans have a heavy turnout and the Democrats have a heavy turnout, I think it's pretty much of a wash. And since Republicans have advantages in red states, I think the heavy turnout in those states clearly favors the Republicans. We'll keep an eye on all of this. As I said, 25 days is a long time in politics. A lot of things could happen over the next 25 days. But right now, it sure looks to me like the Republicans are peaking at the right time. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos Guedes, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guedes Harpies. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Tzatziki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Tzatziki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlos' website right there on the show information. Right under the show description, you'll see a link to his website. We say happy number 60 to Tanya Tucker, one of the great country singers born here in Texas. And on this day in 1957, this is for all my friends up in Wisconsin, on this day in 1957, the Milwaukee Braves beat the Yankees in the World Series. And, you know, that Milwaukee Braves team of 1957 is the only baseball team in Wisconsin history to have won the World Series. The 58 Braves lost the series the next year, and the 82 Brewers lost the series in 1982. So we remember the 1957 Milwaukee Braves. Well, I mentioned that there were some interesting things happening down in Brazil. They had an election on the first round of the election. And we were expecting, based on the polling data, that it was going to be kind of a close fight between Mr. Bolsonaro and Mr. Haddad, and that the two were going to basically be 25-25, 30-30 in that range, and that they were both going to go into both of them would go into the second round, but having to pick up a lot more votes to win the presidency. Well, it turned out that on election day, on the first round, Mr. Bolsonaro ended up getting 46% of the vote. So he almost got in on the first round, which is pretty remarkable considering they had like 5 or 6 or more candidates. And so the polls turned out to be wrong here. Not the first time that's happened, of course, but the polls turned out to be wrong. Now, of course, they move to the second round. I still think, it looks to me, like Mr. Bolsonaro has a very strong position. When you're at 46 and you got to get to, I guess, literally 50.1, you don't have that far to go. But we do have to remember that he is fighting, and in essence, the Brazilian equivalent of the deep state. The left in Brazil is very well organized. They have a really good hold on voters, and they can organize pretty very well, as we saw in 2012, the last time they had an election, and the left pretty much won one section of the country, and that was enough for them to win the presidency. I think Bolsonaro is going to do it this year because the issues favor him, whether it's crime, whether it's the economy, whether it's corruption. He's the one who benefits from all those issues. So I think he's going to win this year. But, as I said, don't underestimate the left, because when they get desperate, they do desperate things. And don't underestimate the left when it comes to an election like this, where they know that they have to fight. Because if Mr. Bolsonaro is elected, there will be at least, I think he will attempt some reforms that are going to make life a little bit difficult for the left, and in particular the relationship between the left and the government, which is pretty deep in Brazil. So we'll see what happens, but I really like Mr. Bolsonaro's chances at this stage of the game. I think he's on a pretty good road to become the next president of Brazil. Well, speaking of presidents, this time a former president, it looks like Bill and Hillary Clinton are going to go on, yes, that's what I said, they're going to go on tour, like a musical act or a Broadway play or a comedian act or something like that. They're going to go on tour. They're going to visit, 12 to 15 cities. They're going to talk. People are going to pay to hear them talk. And it's interesting because we've never seen anything like this before. We've never seen anything like this before, where a president and a former first lady, who also happens to be a former senator, who also happens to be a former secretary of state, and twice a candidate for president. We've never really had that before in a presidential couple or political couple. And they're going to go on tour. They're going to visit, a bunch of cities. So it raised a couple of questions for me as I was thinking about this. Number one, is this about money? Because they are going to be charging money. This is not free. And the question is this about money? Are the Clintons in a money crunch? You know, the Clinton Foundation is not raising money like it used to for a long time. They got used to that foundation raising millions of dollars, and the foundation was a great source of cash for their lavish lifestyle, you know, airplanes and this and this and that. Well, that's gone. They don't have that money anymore. So maybe they need to do stuff like this to raise a little bit of money. I don't know. I don't know for sure, but it's awfully strange that they're going to charge people for this. I mean, why would they charge people if all they want to do is go around the country and talk to the American people? The other question I was asking myself is, why are they doing this? Maybe it's because they cannot get away from the public stage, or they cannot leave the public stage. Look, Bill and Hillary Clinton have been on the public stage now for almost 30 years. He has been around longer because he was a governor, but I mean the couple has been on stage since 91, 92. They're accustomed to getting a lot of publicity, and all of a sudden that dried up because of her losing the election. And maybe they're just having a hard time just accepting the fact that they're no longer relevant, that they're, you know, like other presidents, when they're done, they get into the grandparent business, or they go to ball games, or they do charitable things. But the Clintons seem to want to be on stage. They don't want to walk away from the stage. I don't think the Democrats are happy about that, by the way, because I don't think the Democrats want them running around like this. But the bottom line is they are. And one of these days, a Democrat is going to have to tell this couple to retire, because we don't want you around. But that's going to take probably a little courage. But anyway, so if Bill and Hillary come to your town, don't see them. I'm not planning to see them anyway. Have a wonderful day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we will talk to you later.